Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Thursday, January 23rd, 2020. Coming up this hour,
concerns over the virus outbreak in China weigh on global sentiment.
Stocks in China tumble, oil slides, and bond yields fall.
In the UK, Boris Johnson's Brexit deal clears its final hurdle in Parliament.
And in Frankfurt, we await a policy decision from the ECB.
House Democrats appeal to senators in President Trump's impeachment trial to protect democracy. Meanwhile, the president calls the Democrats corrupt. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stashower in sports. Eli Manning is retiring after 16 years as the Giants quarterback. The Mets set to name Luis Rojas their new manager at the Garden. The Lakers beat the Knicks.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning, I'm Karen Moscow.
And I'm Nathan Hager. Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by SEI. Asset managers can exceed new thresholds for data management, reporting, and responsiveness. Transform your business with SEI's global operating platform at seic.com/IMS.
And global stocks are lower this Thursday morning. 5:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures, they're little change to lower, down 1.5 points. Dow futures down 33. NASDAQ futures down 1. The DAX in Germany is down 0.4%. CAC in Paris is little change. FTSE 100 down 0.2%. 10-year Treasury up 9/32, yield 1.73%. Yield on the 2-year 1.50%. NYMEX crude oil is down 1.5% or 87 cents at $55.87 a barrel. Nathan.
And Karen, the concern over the new virus in China is spreading while Beijing increases steps to contain the outbreak. Officials are halting travel from Wuhan, the epicenter of the virus. We get the very latest from Bloomberg Daybreak Asia anchor Brian Curtis in Hong Kong.
A quarantine of a city larger than New York will be difficult to enforce, but it is a start. The coronavirus has already spread to a number of countries. The WHO says it needs more time on whether or not to call the outbreak a public health emergency. There is some good news, though. There's been no secondary transmission among patients that have left China, and no evidence yet of super spreaders. Those are people who pass on the disease rapidly to many others. In Hong Kong, Brian Curtis, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Brian, thank you. So far, the coronavirus has killed at least 17 people. Anthony Fauci is director of infectious diseases at the U.S. National Institutes of Health.
There's no doubt that it is transmitted from one person to another, but how efficiently that we're going to have sustained transmission is still an open question. So although we know a lot about this, there's still a lot of unknowns.
There are also questions about symptoms related to the virus. Several of the dead in China did not display symptoms of a fever, which could complicate efforts to check for infected travelers at airports.
Now, concerns over the disease led to a sharp slide in Asian stocks overnight. Bloomberg's Juliet Sally joins us from Singapore with details. Good morning, Juliet.
Good morning, Nathan and Karen. China's CSI 300 fell 3.1%, its biggest one-day loss since May, while the Shanghai Composite shed 2.7%. Around 80% of stocks listed in Shanghai and Shenzhen being sold off ahead of the Lunar New Year holiday amid concern the outbreak could worsen during the week-long break. The decline in Chinese equities marks the worst ever end to a Lunar New Year for Chinese investors. In Singapore, I'm Juliet Sali, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Juliet, thank you. Oil extending declines on concerns the virus could dent demand. Mark Conan is chief investment officer at AIA Group.
Markets will be pretty skittish around here. They will be pretty volatile. They'll be responding to news in the short term.
And right now, that short-term response has Brent crude down 1.2% at $62.45 a barrel. West Texas Intermediate is down 1.5% at $55.88.
Well, let's get to some other news now outside of China. In the UK, it's the end of an era as the Prime Minister's Brexit deal clears its final hurdles in Parliament. Bloomberg Daybreak Europe anchor Roger Hearing joins us live from London with details. Good morning, Roger.
Good morning, Nathan and Karen. The last spasms of opposition to Boris Johnson's withdrawal agreement came this week from the House of Lords, but the amendments were swept aside as the bill completed its passage through Parliament. Now it just needs a sign-off from the European Parliament before Britain departs on January the 31st. But the world outside the EU just got a bit colder. Exchanges between the US Treasury Secretary and the UK Chancellor at Davos suggest growing transatlantic differences on taxes and tariffs. Live in London, I'm Roger Hearing, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Roger, thank you. In Frankfurt today, we get a policy decision from the European Central Bank. No change in interest rates is expected. Instead, focus will center on the assessment of its inflation target. We get more from Bloomberg FX and rate strategist Richard Jones.
What could be interesting for markets is if the ECB decides on employing a symmetrical band for its inflation target, it would ratchet up expectations of lower for longer rate policy. They will tolerate higher inflation for a longer amount of time because inflation has been below their policy aim for such a long time.
And the ECB decision comes at 7:45 a.m. Wall Street time, followed by a briefing from President Christine Lagarde at 8:30.
Back here in the U.S., arguments in the impeachment trial of President Trump resume today. Democrats continue to press Republicans to allow witnesses. Bloomberg News spoke to Secretary of State Mike Pompeo about the trial.
If the law required me to testify, I would do so. You know, it hasn't come up. It almost never comes up.
Speaking exclusively with Bloomberg's Kevin Cirilli, Pompeo denies that President Trump's personal lawyer, Rudy Giuliani, ran shadow foreign policy in Ukraine. Instead, Pompeo says the U.S. is committed to ending corruption in the country.
They're a huge trading partner for the United States of America. America has a number of interests with respect to Ukraine, and I think the level of resources we've committed there reflects that level of interest.
And Pompeo plans to visit Ukraine soon. He canceled a trip there earlier this month after a U.S. airstrike killed a high-profile general from Iran.
Meantime, in Switzerland, day three of the World Economic Forum is underway. Coming up, we have a special edition of Bloomberg Surveillance with Jonathan Farrow and Tom Keane live in Davos. And John joins us now with a preview. Good morning, John.
Good morning, Karen. We kick off the show with Mark Rutte, Prime Minister of the Netherlands. Also a conversation on European banking with Standard Chartered CEO Bill Winters. Plus, New York Stock Exchange President Stacey Cunningham. That's all coming up at 7 a.m. Wall Street time on Bloomberg Surveillance, on Bloomberg Radio, and on Bloomberg Television. Karen.
All right, John, thank you. We'll be listening for all of that coming up just under 2 hours' time from the World Economic Forum in Davos. And again, futures, they're little change to lower, with S&P futures down 2 points this morning, Dow futures down 36, and NASDAQ futures down less than one. Straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. And this is Bloomberg.
Okay, thank you, Karen. It is 5:07 on Wall Street, and Michael Barr has more on what's going on around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. President Trump is calling Democrats corrupt as they deliver opening arguments at the Senate impeachment trial, which continues today. House Intelligence Chairman Adam Schiff is one of the Democratic leaders making the case against the president at the trial.
President Trump withheld the security assistance and the White House meeting with President Zelensky until Ukraine made a public statement announcing the two investigations targeted to help his political reelection efforts. But as you will learn next, he got caught, and the cover-up ensued.
Meanwhile, Republican Senator Ted Cruz of Texas told reporters the Trump administration has done more for Ukraine than Trump's predecessor.
Maybe they should have impeached Obama if not giving military aid to Ukraine was a deep threat to U.S. national security.
Democratic Representative Tulsi Gabbard spoke to reporters about the defamation lawsuit she filed against Hillary Clinton for her alleged comments calling a female 2020 candidate a favorite of the Russians. Gabbard believes the comments were aimed at her, although Clinton never aimed Gabbard directly.
I will not stand quietly by as Hillary Clinton or anyone else tries to smear my character.
Gabbard spoke after a town hall event in Charleston, New Hampshire last night. President Trump will become the first sitting president to address the anti-abortion March for Life in person with a planned trip to the rally on the National Mall tomorrow. The president has twice addressed the event via satellite from the Rose Garden. Three Americans have died when a C-130 Hercules aerial water tanker crashed while battling wildfires in the Monaro region of Australia's southern New South Wales state. Rural Fire Service Commissioner Shane Fitzsimmons.
Our thoughts and prayers are with the three occupants who routinely crew that specialized aircraft.
The Trump administration is expected to announce completion of one of its biggest environmental rollbacks, removing federal protections from millions of miles of the country's streams and wetlands. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and on Quick Take by Bloomberg. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
All right, Michael, thank you. It is 5:09 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. Here's John Stashire.
Nathan, Eli Manning's contract had expired. The job he held for 16 years as Giants starting quarterback had gone to Daniel Jones. There was not much of a market for a 38-year-old QB with declining skills, and Eli had always said he never wanted to play anywhere else. So he will retire. He'll meet the media tomorrow. Manning finishes with every Giants passing record, two Super Bowl MVPs, incredible durability. Never missed a game due to injury, rarely ever missed a snap. New Mets manager will be Luis Rojas, 38-year-old, who has spent 13 years with the Mets as a minor league manager, last season as the quality control coach. Well-liked by Met players like Pete Alonso, who played for Rojas in the minors, of course, replaces Carlos Beltran, who before his first game forced out in the wake of the Astros scandal. At the Garden, Lakers beat the Knicks, hardly a surprise. Knicks kept it close, but L.A. won 100-92. Lakers are in Brooklyn tonight for the slumpy Nets. In New Orleans, the much-hyped NBA debut of Zion Williamson.
Floated into Zion, Aldridge on him. Up top, Lonzo, stutter step, back to Zion. Oh, my, step back three, left three! Splash! No! This is not happening!
Pelicans radio, Williamson back after knee surgery 3 months ago. He scored 17 points in a row in the fourth quarter, although San Antonio won the game. Seton Hall won at Providence to stay unbeaten in the Big East. Rutgers lost at Iowa. American John Isner, straight set win at the Australian Open. With Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. Nathan?
And John, we have another two-sport athlete. He's the NFL's Larry Fitzgerald. But instead of the Arizona wide receiver playing another sport, he's buying into one. He's getting a minority stake in the NBA's Phoenix Suns. Terms not disclosed, but you can often see Fitzgerald sitting courtside at Suns games. S&P futures lower by a point right now. Dow futures down 29. NASDAQ futures higher by 1 point. So a bit of a mixed picture for markets ahead of the open. The 10-year is up 9/32, yield 1.73%. 2-year treasury yield 1.50%. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. The Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by Land Rover. Life's an adventure. Experience it in the new Land Rover Discovery Sport. Visit your tri-state area Land Rover retailer for details on the new Discovery Sport. Land Rover, above and beyond.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and on Quick Take by Bloomberg. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. European stocks are dropping. U.S. stock index futures are drifting, and Asian shares slumped amid lingering concerns that a virus spreading from China to other countries could become a drag on global growth. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures, little change. So are NASDAQ futures. Dow futures down 27. The DAX in Germany's down 0.33%. 10-year treasury up 9/32, yield 1.73%, and the yield on the 2-year 1.50%. NYMEX crude oil is down 1.7% on 98 cents at $55.76 a barrel. COMEX gold is down 0.2% or $2.90 at $15.53.80 an ounce. The euro 1.1086 against the dollar, British pound 1.3139, and the yen at 109.53. Today we're watching for the weekly report on initial jobless claims at 8:30 Wall Street time. At 9:45, it's a Bloomberg Consumer Comfort Index. Then at 10, leading economic indicators. Travelers, Comcast, and Procter & Gamble, just some of the companies scheduled to report earnings today. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael, good morning.
Good morning, Karen. The Senate impeachment trial will resume this afternoon. In opening arguments yesterday, Democrats say President Trump led a conspiracy that headed towards his impeachment. The president's attorney, Jay Sekulow, insists the president did nothing wrong. The president's team will make their argument Saturday. Three American crew members have died when a C-130 Hercules aerial water tanker crashed while battling wildfires in southeastern Australia. The tragedy brings the death toll from the blazes to at least 31 since September. New York Giants quarterback Eli Manning has retired. The Giants said that Manning, who led the team to two Super Bowls, would formally announce his retirement tomorrow. In the NBA, the Knicks lost along with the Wizards and Warriors. The Celtics won. Global news, 24 hours a day, on air and on Quick Take by Bloomberg, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
All right, Michael, thank you. It's 519 on Wall Street, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak, and we welcome in this morning Patrick Palfrey, Senior Equity Strategist at Credit Suisse, as we continue to monitor a market that seems to be weighed down fairly significantly by concerns over the coronavirus that is now spread outside of China. Good morning, Patrick. We've seen gains for the Shanghai Shenzhen Index lose their gains for the month. Is there a risk that we see a similar fall for U.S. equities?
Well, good morning. I think the conversation about what is happening in China is probably most relevant to Chinese equities, and I think we're seeing that with, you know, the slight sell-off in the market. You know, the concern is around the Chinese New Year, whether or not the consumer will be out in force, whether or not they will be able to travel as freely, and what that will mean for the economy over this important period of time. You know, in terms of the U.S., right now the idea that this would be a further drag on equity performance doesn't appear likely in this case, unless we were to see something really significantly ramp up in terms of the number of cases in the U.S., in which then we would be concerned about similar things, traveling and whether or not the consumers would be spending. But at the moment, we just don't see that.
Now, we've seen over the last few months a divergence between U.S. growth and growth in the rest of the world. Do you see that trajectory continuing, even with this hanging overhead?
Right now, our expectation is that the U.S. industrial portion of the economy is in the process of bottoming and will start accelerating. So you asked about the divergence. The European data began to take off over the past couple quarters. They were really the leader in this move higher in industrial production. We're beginning to see signs in Asia that industrial production is getting better. In the U.S., the expectation is it will get better as well. So is the divergence going to continue? We actually think it probably closes over the next several quarters. That said, what we're really looking for is the large catalyst which moves it forward. So once we get to 2Q, we need to see a continuation of the success in that sort of industrial portion of the economy to continue to drive growth.
Now, recently, Credit Suisse upped its target for the S&P 500 to 3,600. That's a Wall Street high. What altered your view?
So it really comes back to three things. We kind of just touched on a little bit with industrial growth, but the three things are the acceleration in the earnings data that we are seeing, the second being the improvement in the industrial data that's likely to happen, and the third is that we see valuations as still being reasonable. If I go back to earnings for a moment, really what we're seeing in 2020 is a material improvement from the trend that we were seeing last year. So 2019 EPS growth likely coming in around 1%. 2020, that's likely to come in around 6%. So that is an incredible improvement in the health of the corporate profit backdrop. The second, industrial data improving. When the ISM is below 50 and begins to improve, you traditionally get your best returns within equity markets. Historically, it's been around 17% for the next 12 months. Our expectation is we see something that is powerful, but not quite as strong as that. So it's not out of historical precedence to see that strong bounce in equities. And then the third being the fact that valuations, when you look on a cost of capital basis, when you look relative to the 10-year, or when you look at a price to free cash flow, all these measures point to valuations that remain reasonable. Yes, PEs are above long-term averages, but it ignores the fact that rates are low, volatility is low, and credit spreads have come in tremendously.
You mentioned low rates, and there's so much liquidity in this market. In our last minute here, is there a risk that the market runs too hot?
Well, right now, we don't necessarily see that. I think the concern with the market running hot is that valuations become disconnected from reality. You know, right now, we just aren't seeing it. When you look at, let's say, the 2001-2000 timeframe when you had the tech bubble, the concern there was unprofitable companies were being disproportionately bid up. Right now, so many of these companies are on incredible footing, and the businesses are driving the performance, not necessarily valuation. So like I said before, we are incrementally above long-term averages, but when you look across a whole host of reasons, there's reasons that valuation should be here, and more importantly, there's reasons valuation should go higher.
Great to have you on with us, as always. Thanks so much, Patrick. That's Patrick Palfrey, Senior Equity Strategist at Credit Suisse. And as we look at the markets this morning, little changed right now as far as futures contracts on Wall Street go after more steep losses in Asia on concerns over coronavirus. Right now, S&P futures are down just a quarter point. Dow futures down 22 points. NASDAQ futures are higher right now by almost 4 points. The 10-year Treasury is up 9/32nds, yield 1.73%. 2-year Treasury yield 1.50%. And you're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by Land Rover. Life's an adventure. Experience it in the new Land Rover Discovery Sport. Visit your tri-state area Land Rover retailer for details on the new Discovery Sport. Land Rover, above and beyond.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130 to Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 991 to Boston. Bloomberg 1061 to San Francisco. Bloomberg 960 to the country. Sirius XM Channel 119 and around the globe. The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
And it's 5:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Karen Moscow.
And I'm Nathan Hager. Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by Eisner Amper, named Best Global Accounting Firm for the third year in a row by Hedgeweek, a leading hedge fund industry publication. Learn more at EisnerAmper.com/FS.
And we're just about 4 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. Global stocks are lower, with Asia leading the declines as concerns over the new virus in China spread. Officials are halting travel from Wuhan, the epicenter of the virus. We get the very latest from Bloomberg's Selena Wang in Beijing.
Outbound flights and railway has been banned, as well as public transportation in the city. You have worldwide governments on high alert right now, and China has a nationwide screening program, but hundreds of millions of people are traveling around this time period for Chinese New Year, which is tomorrow. So it makes screening and monitoring even more difficult. And add to that the fact that we've learned that some of the people who have died did not exhibit a fever. So that means the ability to catch this is quite difficult.
On the last trading day before China's Lunar New Year holiday, the Shanghai Composite plunged 2.7%. That's the biggest drop for that day in its three-decade history.
The deadly virus is also having an impact on the oil market, with crude extending declines this morning. Bloomberg's Stephen Stepczynski has more from Singapore.
When you look at what happened during the SARS epidemic, you saw air travel drop about 8% in Asia. That had a knock-on effect and lowered Brent and aviation crudes. Because less people are traveling, you'll see less of a demand boost. So because of that, that's going to sap prices globally, but also focused in Asia when you look at jet fuel indexes.
And right now, Brent's down 1.4% to $62.31 a barrel. West Texas Intermediate down 1.7% at $55.79.
Elsewhere in Asia, Indonesia's central bank left its benchmark interest rate unchanged for a third straight month. It says the economic outlook is improving, but keeps the door open for future cuts.
The European Central Bank announces its latest policy decision just over 2 hours from now. That's followed by a press conference from President Christine Lagarde.
The UK is a step closer to leaving the European Union. Parliament has approved Prime Minister Boris Johnson's Brexit deal. It now goes to the Queen for her signature.
And on the earnings front, Intel and Procter & Gamble lead 18 companies in the S&P 500 reporting results today.
Now let's get you up to date on how stocks are faring with S&P futures. Little change this morning. Dow futures down 12. NASDAQ futures up 8. The DAX in Germany is down 0.3%. 10-year Treasury up 8/32nds, yield 1.73%. And the yield on the 2-year is at 1.50%. And COMEX gold is down 0.2%. Straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. And this is Bloomberg.
Thanks, Karen. It's 5:33 now on Wall Street, and Michael Barr is back with more on what's going on around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. House Democrats have wrapped up a day of arguments in President Donald Trump's impeachment trial, appealing to skeptical Republican senators to join them in voting to oust Trump from office to, quote now, protect our democracy. Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer says that the voices of the American public will help bring the case further into the Senate, including potential witnesses.
Some of the Republican members feel the heat. They put pressure on McConnell, and that's how some of these things will change. The big one is witnesses and documents, and we'll see.
Republican Senator Ted Cruz told reporters President Obama didn't give military aid to Ukraine and could have also faced impeachment.
You know, there's an old saying that hypocrisy is the tribute vice pays to virtue.
President Trump is blasting the proceedings, calling the Democrats corrupt. Democrats have 24 hours over 3 days to prosecute the charges against Trump. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo said the U.S. is committed to supporting Ukraine and stamping out corruption in the country.
Our policy with respect to Ukraine has been set on the fundamental principles of reducing the footprint of corruption and helping the Ukrainian people build up a democracy while under threat from the Russians in the east and southeast.
Pompeo also told Bloomberg TV he denies that President Trump's personal lawyer, Rudy Giuliani, oversaw a shadow foreign policy toward Ukraine. Three firefighters were killed when a Hercules aerial water tanker crashed while on a firebombing mission in the snowy Monaro region of New South Wales in Australia. Officials say the crew members on board were U.S. residents who had come to fight the bushfires in the region. Rural Fire Service Commissioner Shane Fitzsimmons says the plane had been fighting dry and windy conditions near the site of the crash.
Tragically, there appears to be no survivors as a result of the crash down in the snowy Monaro area. It's impacted heavily with the ground, and initial reports are that there was a large fireball associated with the impact of the plane as it hit the ground.
The days of passengers bringing rabbits, turtles, and birds on planes as emotional support animals could be ending. The Department of Transportation proposed that only specially trained dogs qualify as service animals. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and on QuickTake by Bloomberg, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Thank you, Michael. 5:35 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. Here's John Stashart.
Nathan, Eli Manning was drafted by San Diego. Didn't want to play there. Orchestrated a trade to New York midway through his rookie season. He became the Giants' starting quarterback. And except for getting benched one game in 2017, it's a job he held for 16 years until the Giants turned to rookie Daniel Jones this past season. Eli said he didn't much like being a backup, so he has made it official that he will retire as a Giant. Will he get to the Hall of Fame? We'll see. Manning is seventh all-time in passing yards and touchdowns, won two Super Bowl MVPs. With all the losing the last three seasons, Eli's regular season record, only 500. He never won a playoff game other than in the two Super Bowl seasons. The Mets considered Luis Rojas to be their manager a few months ago. Instead, they went with Carlos Beltran, whose involvement in the Astros scandal forced him out. So the Mets are finalizing a deal with Rojas, who's part of a famous baseball family. His father, Felipe Alou, his two uncles, Matty and Jesus, and his brother, Moises, all played in the majors. His name is Rojas, not Alou, because that's the official family name, and that's what's on his birth certificate. LeBron James's only visit to New York last night at the Garden. His Lakers beat the Knicks 100-92. Lakers are 35-9 as they play tonight in Brooklyn. Nets have lost four straight and nine of the last 11. Zion Williamson made his NBA debut in New Orleans. The rookie had been out with a knee injury, struggled early, and then caught fire with 17 straight fourth quarter points. So the Pelicans lost to San Antonio. Seton Hall beat Providence 73-64. Rutgers lost at Iowa 85-80. Fordham's first win in the Atlantic 10, beating George Washington. With a Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashow. Nathan?
Thanks, John. It's 5:37 on Wall Street, and the latest edition of Bloomberg Business Week is on newsstands now with the cover on Apollo Global Management CEO Leon Black. Also in this week's issue, how Bumble set out to be a safe dating app for women, but may be missing the mark. Claire Suddeth wrote the story for Bloomberg Business Week.
Only women can message men first. So if you swipe right on a man and he swipes on you, the woman, it's on her. Supposedly, this is empowering. This allows women to guide the conversation. But the issue is there's not really any evidence that it actually is empowering or that it's doing what it claims.
Read more about this and other stories in this week's edition of Bloomberg Business Week on newsstands now and online at businessweek.com. Terminal customers can receive a complimentary subscription at MAG Go and listen to Business Week with Carol Masser and Jason Kelly weekdays at 2 p.m. Wall Street time here on Bloomberg Radio. It's 5:38 on Wall Street. Time for the Tri-State Business Report with Bloomberg's Ed Curry. Good morning, Ed.
Morning, Nathan. Price cuts abound for New York City home shoppers. In Brooklyn's Park Slope and Williamsburg, buyers in the fourth quarter got median discounts of 2.7% and 2.8%, according to East Street Easy. In Manhattan, the median reduction in the financial district was 10.4%. The rate was 6.4% on the Upper West Side and 14.8% in East Harlem. Home purchases in the Hamptons jumped 11% in the fourth quarter from a year ago, thanks to the biggest price cuts in more than 4 years. The increase was the biggest since the end of 2017, according to Miller Samuel and Douglas Elliman Real Estate. Quest Diagnostics has acquired Blueprint Genetics in an all-cash equity deal. Blueprint is a genetic testing company. New Jersey-based Quest says the acquisition will help its work in genetic and rare diseases, improving patient care and drug research and development. That's your Bloomberg Tri-State Business Report. I'm Ed Corey. Nathan?
All right, thanks, Ed. It's 5:39 on Wall Street, and Bloomberg Radio is on the air from San Francisco to New York, London to Hong Kong. Let's check in with our global news team for some of the top stories heard on our 300 affiliate radio stations around the world.
I'm Jeff Bellinger, and on WIOD in Miami, I'm reporting that Burger King has cut the price of the Impossible Whoppers.
I'm Gina Cervetti, and on WBBM in Chicago, I'm reporting that FedEx is ramping up e-commerce services for large retailers, giving them a potential advantage over Amazon.
I'm Caroline Hepke on Bloomberg DAB, digital radio in London. We're reporting on Boris Johnson's Brexit bill clearing its last hurdle in Parliament.
I'm Ed Corey on KFBK in Sacramento. I'm reporting TripAdvisor is cutting hundreds of jobs.
Those are some of the stories our 2,700 Bloomberg journalists and analysts are working on this morning around the world. And some other stories we're following this morning. Shares of PG&E up more than 7% in early trading. The California power giant reached a settlement with creditors on a $46 billion restructuring plan. PG&E is now closer to emerging from the biggest utility bankruptcy in U.S. history. And Amazon has returned to court over that $10 billion Pentagon cloud contract. The company asked a judge to prevent Microsoft from working on it till a lawsuit is resolved. The complaint claims President Trump's dislike of Amazon CEO Jeff Bezos played a role in Microsoft winning the deal. Futures mixed ahead of the open. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Brought to you by Land Rover. Life's an adventure. Experience it in the new Land Rover Discovery Sport. Visit your tri-state area Land Rover retailer for details on the new Discovery Sport. Land Rover, above and beyond.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and on Quick Take by Bloomberg. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. European stocks dropping. U.S. stock index futures have been drifting. Asian shares slumped amid some lingering concerns that a virus spreading from China to other countries could become a drag on global growth. Crude oil is falling. Treasuries are climbing. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures, little change. Dow futures down 19. NASDAQ futures up about 7. The DAX in Germany is down 0.3%. 10-year Treasury up 7/32nds, yield 1.74%, and the yield on the 2-year 1.50%. NYMEX crude oil is down 1.6% or 89 cents at $55.85 a barrel. COMEX gold down 0.2% or $3.20 at $15.53.50 an ounce. The euro 1.1087 against the dollar. British pound 1.3132. And the yen is at 109.58. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, House managers continue their opening arguments in the Senate's impeachment trial for their second day today. Yesterday, Democrats tried to lay out their case repeatedly, reminding Republicans of the need to call for additional witnesses and evidence blocked by the Trump administration. Vice President Mike Pence is in Israel to take part in a ceremony to mark International Holocaust Memorial Day on Monday. Israel is hosting more than 40 heads of state in Jerusalem to mark the 75th anniversary of the liberation of Auschwitz, the Nazi death camp where over 1 million Jews were murdered. In New York, Giants quarterback Eli Manning has retired. The Giants said that Manning, who led the team to two Super Bowls, would formally announce his retirement tomorrow. In the NBA, the Knicks lost along with the Wizards and Warriors. The Celtics won. Global news 24 hours a day, on air and on Quick Take by Bloomberg, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Okay, Michael, thank you. It is just before 5:49 on Wall Street, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers studio. This is Bloomberg Daybreak, as we continue to watch a market that seems pretty sensitive to concerns over the deadly coronavirus in China now spreading around the world. Let's bring in Richard Jones now, FX and rate strategist on the Bloomberg Markets Live team. And Richard, good morning. We're seeing some of that sensitivity play out in the U.S. Treasury markets as well. Gains across the board for U.S. debt. What's your take on it?
Yeah, good morning, Nathan. Well, I think what we're seeing as a result of the health scare in China is very similar to the types of moves that we saw with the tensions in the Middle East at the beginning of the month between Iran and the U.S. And so I think, yes, you're right to highlight that Treasury yields are moving lower. I think what is more pronounced for obvious reasons with this particular situation now versus the problems in the Middle East early in the month is that Asian equities have really taken this very badly. And you can understand why. It makes perfect sense from a regional perspective that they would get hit very hard. But I think there is a concern, as there was earlier in the month when the geopolitical tensions flared up, that all of this can actually dent the narrative of recovering global growth. And that I think that is why we're seeing U.S. yields fall. I think that's why we're also seeing a greater probability of Fed easing this year being priced than there was even at the end of last year. Because I think if there's anything that comes up, and these are two, I think, really strong cases that will actually act as a reasonable headwind on global growth, I think we're going to see a pullback in equities, but also a repricing for a more dovish Fed going into as we get into this year.
Yeah, we are starting to see a 12% price hike into the Fed funds futures markets on the WIRP function on the Bloomberg terminal. I mean, is this a possibility that we could see the Fed call this the kind of material reassessment to the outlook that it's talked about it would need to meet in order to make a move on rates this year?
I think the Fed has the I won't call it a luxury, but does have the ability right now to actually take its time with what it does next. And I think that the domestic economy remains strong. I think let's see how all of this pans out in terms of its impact on global growth. So the market is definitely thinking that the Fed will have to do something by the end of the year, but I don't think it's something that's imminent. I do think the Fed has the ability to wait and see on this. But I think the longer that this goes on, the bigger a potential problem it is. I think that we get more cumulative easing priced into the curve by the end of the year, and we get the first rate cut moved further to the present. So I think we're probably looking at something towards the end of the year now. Maybe we'd be looking at something towards mid-year or even in a few months' time if this does become a bigger problem than it initially seems to be right now.
Are you seeing the same kind of volatility in the market that we did when we had those geopolitical tensions with Iran not too long ago?
Yeah, I don't think it's exactly alike. I think they're quite similar. I think the actual knee-jerk move I'll speak specifically to sort of Fed pricing, was a little bit sharper earlier this month when the geopolitical tensions were first emerging, but they pulled back really, really quickly. Whereas this, the initial move, the knee jerk hasn't been as sharp, but there really hasn't been a pullback, which leads me to believe that perhaps there is a little bit of a concern that while the geopolitical tensions seem to sort themselves out, at least in the near term, rather quickly, this isn't something that they're going to be able to solve really quickly. And so therefore, I think people are being quite cautious about it, and we're not seeing that pullback in probabilities for Fed easing.
Real quick answer to this one. What kind of moves do you see for haven currencies?
I think we see more of the same, but again, it depends how long this goes on. I think if this goes on, you know, into the coming weeks, and it looks like it's going to take months, then I think we see big moves stronger for the yen and for the Swiss franc.
Richard Jones, thanks as always. Good talking with you this morning. That's Richard Jones, FX and rate strategist on the Bloomberg Markets Live team. And you can get more from Richard and the rest of the folks at M Live. Just type MLIV Go on the Bloomberg terminal. Karen.
Thanks, Nathan. It is 5:53 on Wall Street. It's time for the Bloomberg Law Report. Let's get to the legal stories we're watching this morning from Bloomberg's Jeff Bellinger.
A group of sexual abuse survivors is urging a court to dismiss USA Gymnastics Chapter 11 case. They argue the organization is using bankruptcy protection to delay litigation over abuse by former team doctor Larry Nassar. South Carolina Governor Henry McMaster wants to end the state employee pension plan and shift all new state workers into a defined contribution plan. A federal judge ruled the Treasury must review and produce 100 documents per month in its fight with New York and New Jersey to remove donor disclosure requirements for some nonprofits.
Bloomberg Law. Everything you need on one legal research platform. Guidance, analysis, and Bloomberg Market Intelligence. Find out more at BloombergLaw.com.
And now, our top legal story this hour, House Intelligence Chairman Adam Schiff presenting the U.S. Senate with a dark portrait of a flawed and dangerous president as he argued that Donald Trump should be removed from office. For more on the second day of the president's impeachment trial, Bloomberg's Greg Storr speaks to Bob Barr, former Republican Georgia congressman who was a House manager during the impeachment of President Bill Clinton.
The first thing we were interested in being able to do back in February of 1999 was to present a robust case explaining the articles of impeachment that the House had passed just a couple of weeks before. Unlike the current situation, of course, we were bringing over a robust process that laid out commission of crimes before the Senate, unlike now. We had procedurally, we were facing a similar situation that the House managers are facing now, not exactly the same, but the Senate rules at the time, that is in 1999, allowed no live witnesses and limited very severely the body of evidence that we could present to only that evidence that was already in the public record as a result of the House impeachment procedures.
People on the left say when you all were prosecuting Bill Clinton, trying to have him removed from office, the allegations were that he lied under oath, but which is a bad thing, but not something that amounted to any sort of abuse of the presidency, nothing that advantaged him in quite the same way. And here we have Adam Schiff and others on the House impeachment managers saying Donald Trump is trying to cheat in the next election, among other things, by withholding military aid from a country that badly needed it. Why is it so clear to you that Bill Clinton should have been convicted, but not Donald Trump?
First and foremost is that we in 1999 were proceeding pursuant to articles of impeachment that expressly did what the Constitution says is necessary to impeach and remove a president. That is to show that the president violated either bribery or treason, committed those one of those two offenses, or committed other high crimes and misdemeanors. In other words, there has to be a crime at the center or at the foundation of the impeachment of a president.
And that's Bob Barr, former Republican congressman and House manager during the impeachment of President Bill Clinton, speaking with Bloomberg's Greg Storr. Catch more of that interview, plus analysis of the latest legal news by subscribing to the Bloomberg Law Podcast or downloading the show at Bloomberg.com/podcast. And attorneys can find exceptional legal research and business development tools at BloombergLaw.com. S&P futures are little changed this morning. Dow futures down 19. NASDAQ futures up about 9. The DAX in Germany's down 0.25%. 10-year Treasury up 7/32, yield 1.74%. And the yield on the 2-year, 1.50%. NYMEX crude oil down 1.7% on 95 cents at $55.79 a barrel. And COMEX gold is down 0.2% at $15.53.80 an ounce. And Bloomberg Daybreak continues. This is Bloomberg.